Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
It happened 8 years ago. She was out partying with some friends, and they stupidly decided to take a drive. All of them were pretty intoxicated and rowdy, so the whole night was a bad idea even before it started. As her friends who survived tell the story, they were blasting music and all dancing. They decided to go off-road, heading towards the cows and hills that cover the outskirts of our tiny town. They were going just a little too fast and ended up in the middle of a bunch of cows. As they swerved to miss one, they ended up in the path of a tree, and my sister's head slammed into it as they passed, completely decapitating her. Out of fear, they didn't go to the cops whenever it happened. They came to our house first. My other sister, screaming and crying from downstairs, is what woke me. My dad told me to stay in bed, but a 10-year-old isn't going to listen to that, especially whenever there is that much commotion in their house. So I slowly crept down the stairs, but no one else was really paying attention to me. No one in our family has ever really paid attention to me since that night. I saw her girlfriends covered in blood splatter, makeup running down their faces. I saw her friend, Randy, carefully holding something wrapped in a blanket, tears falling down his face. I saw my other sister punching her boyfriend, Sam, and not once did he try to fight back. I saw my mom unwrap the blanket and fall to her knees in shock. I saw my dad run up and try to cover my eyes, but it was too late. I saw her head, completely smashed and unrecognizable. Her eyeballs were blown out. The only way you knew it was her was by her strawberry blonde hair, now caked and matted in dirt, grass, and blood. I will never forget seeing that. I relive that night almost every time I close my eyes to go to sleep. Randy got charged with involuntary manslaughter, among other things, but he got let out early for good behavior. Our family doesn't hold it against him, but he definitely held it against himself. He took his own life less than a month after getting released. Sam ended up getting an alcohol problem, and most of her girlfriends struggled with substance abuse and mental health as well. It was just as hard on them as it was on us. I heard the phone call that started it all. It was the call where she planned on sneaking out that night to go to the party, and she didn't know I was home whenever she made the plans. "Oh, Mikey," she yelled as she turned around and saw me. "You scared me. I didn't know you were home. I thought you had soccer practice." "They cancelled it," I said from a bedroom doorway. "I was going to ask you to make some pizza rolls." "Yeah, sure. I'll make you some in a minute. Just go play some video games or something." She threw her phone on the bed and started fidgeting with her hair as I turned around to head down the walkway. "Hey, Mikey, wait." I turned around just as she poked her head out of her door. "Did you hear that phone call?" she asked. I nodded, knowing what was about to happen, because it had happened so many times before. It was normal to me at this point. "Do you want me to go get you a new game this weekend?" I grinned ear to ear and eagerly nodded as she smiled as well. Our agreement understood. And so I went and played video games, just as I had done many days after our secret agreement. She had done this many times with my other sister and I, because we tended to always catch her making plans she shouldn't be making. It had become natural to us, so we didn't think anything bad could ever come from it. Her head didn't show up until about 3 years ago. I was at home, alone, once again playing video games like I always do. I mostly did it as a distraction at this point though, because whenever I was home alone, I swore I could sometimes hear her calling my name. Now I legitimately hear it, because she's in my closet. But for the longest time, I thought our house was haunted with a ghost. Either that, or I was just haunted with the memory of her. There was a ring at the doorbell, so I paused the game I was playing and rushed down the stairs to see who it was. By the time I got there, whoever had left had seemingly disappeared into thin air. They left a plain cardboard box, nothing specific or special about it. I figured it was just another package of my mum's, another one of the million things she had ordered off of Amazon, so I put it on the side table by the front door for her to open later. It wasn't until later that night, whenever she finally opened it and laughed at the prank I'd pulled on her. "Mikey, there's nothing in this box. You really had my hopes up my sweater had finally come in, though." She laughed and then handed me the box. I furrowed my brow at her before asking, "What do you mean there's nothing in the box? And why would you think it's a sweater?" I carefully shook the contents of the box. "It's too heavy to be a sweater." "You're really going all out on this joke, huh?" she replied as she walked towards the kitchen. "Open it for yourself, jokester." Her insistence that I was joking confused me even more, considering I could literally feel the weight of whatever was inside the box just by holding it. It definitely was too big for a sweater, and I don't know why they'd even put a sweater in a box this size. Before opening it, I was still sure that it was just something my mum had ordered that she had forgotten about. So I carefully put it down on the coffee table so as to not damage whatever was inside. I opened it back up, and immediately the smell about knocked me off my feet. Whenever I actually looked inside the box, it took my mind about a minute to register that it was my sister's rotting head, considering that's not a normal thing that people just see every day. I sat there for at least 3 seconds staring at it before I screamed so loud my voice began to crack. My mom came sprinting back into the living room with a look of terror on her face, screaming at me to tell her what happened, but I couldn't form words from the shock. I just started sobbing hysterically and pointing at the box. She jerked the box up, and I winced in reaction, fully expecting for the head to accidentally fly out with how hard she jerked it. "There's nothing in here, Mikey," she said angrily. She threw the box down on the coffee table, as if it was as light as a feather, but I still heard the thud of the head bouncing in the box. "Can you stop with these stupid jokes, please?" she snapped, before she realized I was legitimately terrified. It was her turn to furrow her brow in confusion as she sat down beside me and wrapped me up in her arms, shocking me as it was the first time she had done it in years. "Honey, what is going on?" She wiped the tears from my face and softly moved my head so I was looking her in the eyes. A million thoughts went through my head at once. Was I going crazy? Why could she not see it? Should I tell her what I'm seeing? Would she think I'm crazy? I decided not to tell her, because she had enough stress on her hands as it is, and she didn't need more stress added on with the possibility of an insane child. I shook my head as a response, and mumbled an excuse about there being a bug on the box. I could tell she didn't believe me, but she didn't question me any further. She just held me until I stopped crying. I will admit that I forced a few more tears to come out, just to have some more time with her. From that day on, I didn't try to show her or any other family members, partly out of fear that one of them would see the same horrors I had, and partly out of fear that they wouldn't, and I would be deemed insane. I did try to show a few friends over the years, let them hold the box and try to guess what was inside. They all thought it was a joke as well, because clearly there was nothing inside. I hid the box in my closet, and it only took a few months for her to begin speaking to me. It started one night when I was struggling to sleep. I kept feeling like her head was staring at me, even through the cardboard box and the door of my closet. I tried to ignore it and distract myself by thinking of happy memories of her before she died. All of the times we stayed up watching movies past bedtime, whenever she would take me to the park to play as a little kid, and all the time she would play hide and seek with me. I was thinking about that one year we had to spend Christmas Eve with no power because the snow had knocked it out, and our parents lied to us and said Santa just had to borrow the power to fuel his toy shop machines. That's when she decided to speak, simply saying,
I miss the snow.
I assumed I was just hearing things whenever she spoke. I was nearly convinced I was finally fully off my rocker. But then, after I sat there for a minute without responding, I heard a usual aggravated gasp that I had heard so many times before as a child.
Are you just going to ignore me, Mikey? I literally came back just for you, so that's kind of rude.
I heard the walls of the cardboard box being thumped as if her head was being rocked back and forth. My eyes went wide in terror as I tried to decide if I should just keep ignoring it.
Mikey, let me out of this box, now!
I shot up and out of my bed at that moment and ran towards the closet, jerking the door open. I didn't know if anyone else could hear her, but I didn't want to risk finding out. I didn't really know how to explain my dead sister's voice suddenly yelling at 2 in the morning. The box was covered in flies. The smell was absolutely dreadful, and I almost puked when I felt the wetness of the box. But I grabbed it anyway out of fear of her angrily screaming again. I placed the box on my desk. I grabbed a random towel off my floor from my shower earlier and placed it next to the box. I didn't really know how to grab her head, so I tried to smoothly roll it out of the box instead, causing her to become a makeshift bowling ball and nearly knocked everything off my desk.
Hey!
She yelled in anger once again, and I hurriedly shushed her. I used the towel to grab her head and position it so it was facing my bed before sitting down to face her myself. Her eyes had been closed whenever I first found her, but they were open now. They looked as dead as she was, but they were still slowly blinking. I started to softly cry, and she did her best to calm me down as well as a decapitated head of your sister could. I struggled to look at her, but I got used to it over time. We ended up spending the whole night talking, and I caught her up on how life had been since she had left us. I kept asking her over and over to explain how this was happening, but she refused to tell me. I honestly believed that when I fell asleep that night, I would wake up and it would be the day the box had came. I would realize it was all just a nightmare and the box would be delivered with a sweater or another random item my mum had ordered. Honestly, the first few months were great. Once I got past the smell and the overall appearance of my sister, it was almost like having her back here with me. No one else ever noticed the smell, so I finally decided I was the only one who could see her. The pandemic really helped because masks helped me deal with the smell and I had more free time to spend with her. I was afraid her head would keep on decaying until she ended up leaving me again, but it always seemed to stay at the same amount of grotesqueness and rotting. It didn't become a burden until she started crying that she was hungry. At first, it was a guessing game on what she wanted to eat. I brought her just about everything in the fridge, and she turned it all down. I asked her if she wanted things from the grocery store, and even spent all my money on her favorite snacks from when she was alive, only for her to turn it all down. It wasn't until a bird flew into my bedroom window by chance one afternoon that I finally began to realize what a dreadful thing her appetite was. She started yelling for me to get it for her. I tried to argue at first, but as you can guess, she won in the end. Whenever I gave it to her, she started giggling, which quickly turned into a maniacal laughter that she had later told me was from the joy of finally having a good meal. She completely devoured the bird, bones and all, and it disgusted me so much that I had to sprint to the bathroom to throw up. From that day on, she demanded I bring her dead animals, and for a while, that was enough. I tried to find other alternatives for her that seemed less cruel, like raw sushi for instance, but she acted like me suggesting that was like chopping off her head again. She slowly grew bored with the animals and started to demand more though. Whenever there would be news stories on TV about missing children, she would fantasize to me about eating them, how good they would taste, how tender their flesh would be, how full it would make her feel. I don't really understand what part of her gets full, but she insisted human flesh would make her the fullest she had ever been, Her fantasizing turned to brainstorming as she thought out ways for me to catch a most desired meal. And I tried to refuse her first, just like I did with the animals. I really, really did. But then, she started to make me feel guilty for her death. She knew I felt responsible, because I never told her parents that she was going to sneak out, and she heavily used it to her advantage to get what she wanted. And now, here I am, a full-blown child kidnapper, just about to feed my sister's decapitated head. Sounds crazy, right? I know it does. You probably won't even believe me, but all of this is 100% true. I wish it wasn't, I truly do. I wish I didn't know the best ways to get a child to trust me. I wish I didn't know the best, most secluded spots that are the easiest to guide a child to, only to snatch them up and into your trunk. I wish I didn't know how to quickly and efficiently chop up a child's dead body. I wish I didn't know how fast it takes a demon to eat a child, because that's what I've realized she is. A demon. I know this thing isn't my sister, but now I'm stuck dealing with the burden of it. There's no way this pure evil has any bit of my sister in it, and I'm ashamed that it tricked me so easily into believing it was her at first. I've started to notice that every time I feed it another child, it gets stronger. It looks less decayed, and it looks like its neck is actually growing longer. I'm not sure if it can fully grow back its body, but I couldn't do anything to stop it anyway. It's attached to me now, and as I feel it growing stronger, I feel myself growing weaker, as if it is eating my spirit for energy as well. It already knows I know it's not her, but it also knows I have no way of escaping from it. Any time I tried to destroy it, it never works. The first time I tried to get rid of it, I tried putting it in a trash bag and taking the trash can outside, but it just began screaming. It screamed every day for 3 days, non-stop. At first, it was kind of quiet, like you could mistake it for cicadas. But then, it grew louder and louder, until it made my ears ring and became painful. I'm very glad no one else could hear it. I brought it back in and tried to burn it. It tried to bite me while I poured the lighter fluid on it, but I gagged its mouth. It didn't burn one bit, but it still cried like it was in pain, which I'm convinced was only done to bother me because of how much it sounded like my sister. I drove it out to the local dump, only to have it appear back in its box whenever I returned home. I even tried to throw it in my neighbor's woodchucker one day, and it flew back out the other side, completely unharmed. Nothing ever works, and I'm honestly ready to give up. I know that's exactly what it wants, and I'm ready to give it at this point. My family doesn't seem to really care about my existence, and I feel like if they knew I had a way to stop her that night, they would hate me as much as I hate myself. I'm ready to give into whatever this demon wants, because I have nothing left to live for. This is the end of my story, sadly. She's calling for more flesh, and I don't have anything for her. I'm about to go out for another catch, but I know it'll never be enough for her appetite. It grows and grows every day. So, be careful out there, and be sure not to open any boxes that may appear at your doorstep. You wouldn't want to end up like me.